I hope you know deep in your heart that there's nothing better than being with Jesus. I hope you find that out every day as you spend time with him and as we look forward to that day when he does come and he does remember you and you find out, if you didn't know already, that he likes nothing better than being with you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are here with us today. We thank you that we have been blessed so much with the worship and praise and prayer that we have participated in already, and we just ask your Spirit to continue to pour out among us. Please touch us with your presence and with your word. Make the difference in our lives that you want to today. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, the stars came out last Sunday night. Didn't you know that? And 43 million people tuned in to watch them. The stars. What, by the way, is the definition of star? You talked about celestial stars up in the sky. But this morning, we are talking about who the world calls stars. And then we are going to look at who God calls stars and see if there's any difference. Now, I don't think there's any arguing that the people that are on the screen right now, they were on the red carpet just last Sunday night. I don't think there's any arguing that they are all over the world considered to be stars. Am I right? Anyone know who these are? No one's admitting it? I heard Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. How do you know? Anybody met these people? How do you know their names? It's like you're their old friends or something like that. You just come right up with their names. How does this happen? How does a person become a star in this world? Well, I looked up the definition of star on the free online dictionary, and it says a star is a self-luminous celestial body consisting of a mass of gas held together by its own gravity. Of course, that's not the kind of star we're actually talking about today. What is it that makes, you may have seen some parallels, and I want to say, just as your pastor, that was awfully mean of you to think that. But anyway, what is it that has made Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie stars? I would say it is that they have figured out something that they can do, and they have gone off after it with all their might that attracts people's attention to them. Isn't that right? I mean, why even the word star? You go outside at night on a clear night, and especially right now, you go out, and especially a couple of bright ones grab you, don't they, when it's clear? When you go out in the evening time, when it's not too late, pretty much up almost straight overhead, you might see Jupiter just blazing down, and it makes you wonder, what is this? And then over underneath Orion, the brightest star in the northern hemisphere, Sirius, just blazes at you, and it grabs your attention in contrast to the background all around it. And that's what people who want to be stars do in this world. Whether it's in entertainment or whether it's in athletics, they do what they can. They find a skill that they have, and they work on it, and they work on it, and they work on it, and they go after people to pay attention to them, to get them in the position where people will notice what they can do and preferably send money and fame to help support them and affirm them in what they have done. And why do people pay attention? Why do people send money? Why do they do it? They do it because what these people have found that they can do brings them pleasure. It brings pleasure to the masses, and the masses open up their wallets and get out their charge cards and parade down to the places where they can experience the experiences that these people offer, the stars. You know what? If you want to steer someone's life, you adjust what they find to be valuable and wonderful. If you adjust what they find to be valuable and wonderful, you can steer them anywhere. You just make it happen, and they will come, they will follow, they will make choices, they will fork over money, they will do whatever it takes to get to what they have decided, what they have experienced, brings them pleasure, makes them happy, helps them forget their troubles, whatever the case may be. I would hold before you that this is one of Satan's greatest ways of steering people away from Jesus. This is one of Satan's greatest ways of steering people away from the priorities of his kingdom. I want to show you a couple of things real quickly that lay down the priorities of the kingdom of Jesus. The things that dazzle and brighten and flash out in their brilliance in the kingdom of Jesus. And I would ask us today, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, to open our hearts, to let him adjust in our hearts what grabs our eyes, what catches our attention, and gets us moving and giving and serving. Jesus was talking about his cousin one day. You'll find it in Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. Can you remember that? Matthew 11, verse 11. I want you to look at what Jesus said about his cousin. And I want you to think about how this relates to stars and how we think of stars and how we make stars and how we, in some sense, worship stars. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. Wouldn't you like to be Jesus' cousin? There has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But now look at what Jesus says. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. The world says if you have the best 50-yard dash time, or if you can make people believe in the character that you are pouring yourself into, or make them laugh harder than anyone else, or move them with your music, that you have achieved greatness. But Jesus says, just by being in his kingdom, you have risen to the top. That there is nothing greater than being a part of his kingdom. I'll take it a step higher. Going back to the prophet Daniel. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3. This is in the context, if you read the beginning of Daniel chapter 12, he's talking about the end times. He's talking about Michael standing up. He's talking about these great and momentous times. And then he says this, those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the firmament, the sky. And listen to this, those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. In the kingdom of Jesus, what does it take to be a star? What is the greatest thing that you can do as part of Jesus' kingdom? What is it? Turning people to righteousness. In other words, turning people to him. There is nothing greater that you can do than to turn someone to Jesus to bring them into the family. There is nothing greater than you can than bringing someone, as Jesus said, to cross over from death to life. Can you think of anything? Everything else that you can do for a person, and there are so many loving, wonderful things that Jesus has called us to do. And you know, in Matthew 25, he says, if they're hungry, feed them. If they're naked, clothe them. If they need shelter, give it to them. And he is beaming every time that you reflect his character of love in doing that. But I want you to be clear on this. If you succeed in feeding someone and helping them live another day, that's how long it lasts. If you succeed in healing someone, if you Share something with them. Everything like that that you can do for a person is temporary. Wonderful as it is, and we need to do more and more of these senseless acts of beauty, as the bumper sticker says. But the one thing that you can do for someone that is permanent is bring them to know Jesus. By showing them Jesus, by introducing them to Jesus, helping them to cross over from death to life, as Jesus said. By shifting the course of someone's life because they met Jesus from being a life of serving self to being a life of loving the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their might, with all their strength, and loving their neighbor as themselves. That's a fundamental change. That's a deep difference. And Jesus is calling us to shine like those kind of stars that turn people to him. And you know what? I am happy to tell you that in this system of stardom, where there's no charts, no countdown programs, no award shows, in this system of stardom, he provides everything that you need. Through him and through his Holy Spirit, he provides everything that you need. And then, you know, last Sunday night, after they had all the red carpet interviews, and then after they had the award show watched by 43 million people, what comes next? The after parties, that's right. The after parties. I want to tell you that in this system of stardom, there is not just after parties. For however many people cross that line to give themselves to Jesus, there is an after party. You ever been to Luke chapter 15? Come with me to look at Luke chapter 15. The first story that Jesus told was about the lost sheep. You remember? The shepherd who had counted his sheep as they came into the fold, and there were 99, and he had 100 sheep. And he went out and he found the missing sheep, and then when he brought that sheep in, he called his friends to rejoice with him. And Jesus said, in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner that repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. You want to start a party? It's not about getting the right hors d'oeuvres. It's about bringing someone to Jesus. It's about bringing someone home, getting them ready to be home with Jesus forever. And then in the next story was the lady who lost that coin out of her precious collection of coins. And she searched and searched and searched through her house and swept and swept and did all the things that she would do to try and uncover that coin. And then she found it. And she called her neighbors to rejoice with her. And Jesus said, likewise I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. There are stars among us here today. Amen. And your brightness, because it is the brightness of Jesus, outshines Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, anyone that you can think of that the world says is the star of the moment in any field that you can think of. There are stars here that outshine those stars in brilliance in the eyes of the one that matters how he sees, and that is Jesus our Lord, the Father, the Holy Spirit. And I want to find out about that. I want to do some red carpet interviews. I'm going to grab, let's see, the red mic. Does that seem appropriate? Sound engineer? Do I have to do anything to this to turn it on? Evidently not. Okay. And I want to thank Tom Miller for finding in our collection a very dignified shade of red. Amen. For a red carpet. And I want you to think right now, don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to come up and say, I'm a star. I want you to think right now of who brought you to Jesus. Who brought? Get over here then. We got a red carpet interview to do. And if you're willing, I'd like to hear a few more, maybe quite a few more stories of who brought you to Jesus. Real quick now, you know, because we got to have time for the others. So don't worry, agents aren't watching or anything like that, or maybe they are. But anyway, who brought you to Jesus, Sherry?
Her name is Marguerite. She is from the Lockford Church. She passed away a few years ago. She met my parents and brought them to Jesus. They prayed as a group, and here we are.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Sherry. Anyone else willing to come to the red carpet and tell us who brought you to Jesus? And forgive me, I'm not good with everybody's name yet.
Susie.
And I don't know that I ever will be, but I'll try. Okay. Susie, yes.
Well, I thought I was already knew Jesus. I didn't until Allie King. I sent away for a Bible study, and I sent through the mail, and it got lost. And like a year later, she at my door at the right time. I wouldn't have been ready a month before, so good thing that I got lost. But she was the one that started the Bible study with me, and her mom came with, and I was taught I was going to live in a paradise on earth, but nobody ever told me I was going to get there. And now I know, and it's made a big difference, and it was
Praise
Allie King and everybody here.
Praise the Lord. Let's give a hand. Hallelujah. All right, anybody else? Come on. Someone tell us who brought you to Jesus. Yes, come on over. Who brought you to Jesus?
Well, a lot of you know that I went to the high school across the street and thought that this was a different church, and I had no idea what this church was all about. But when I was 23 years old, I began to pray, and I prayed for two things. I prayed that if there was a church on the face of the earth that still taught the truth, that God would pick me up and put me there. And the second thing I prayed was that he would bring me a husband that I could have a family with. But my stipulation was I wanted him to love God more than me, because if he did, he would love me right. And so about 2 months later, I met my husband, and he taught me all about God. And we started talking about that the very first night we met, and I was baptized about 6 months later, and when I got baptized, he was the one standing. My husband was.
Can you call him up here?
Yes.
Come on. We want a star on the carpet. Okay, and we'll ask the question that we ask stars on the red carpet. Come here, Ron. So how did it feel for that to happen?
Oh, it was wonderful. It was wonderful. It's the first time I had ever dated somebody who her first question was something about God, and started a relationship that has been going for 23 years now.
Praise the Lord. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. Come right here. Who brought you to Jesus?
My grandma and my grandpa and my mommy.
All right, come on up. You got named. Sorry, you got to come up. Oh, stand. If you want to stand, but if you want to come up. These people brought him to Jesus.
Amen.
This family. Praise the Lord. There is nothing better.
Amen.
Nothing better can happen in your family. Yes, Audie, who brought you to Jesus?
It started with my employer, who was very sneaky, because the way she brought me to Jesus is she had me do worship with the kids that I was babysitting night after night. And then, what actually sealed it was the church had a series of meetings. As far as I know, I was the only one baptized out of it, but I think it was worth it.
I think so too. Anybody else think that was worth it? And praise the Lord, you've been making a difference in the lives of children. How many worships have you done since then? How many worships have you done since then? 50 million. 50 million. That's more than the people who watch the Oscars, isn't that? That's quite an achievement. All right. Praise the Lord. Come on. Are you game for some more? Do you want to hear some more? Come on up. Who brought you to Jesus?
My auntie and my uncle.
Your aunt, are they here? Oh, there you go. Right there. Praise the Lord. Thank you. right here. All right, that's good. That's what we're after. Okay, who brought you to Jesus?
Hi, I'm Chris Battison. I'm a sinner.
Yeah.
Seriously. Nice red.
You like this?
I was raised in this church. In fact, we used to sit where that camera is aiming at us right now. But the thing was, I went astray. And
how'd you get back?
Self is an interesting thing. But how I got back was an even more interesting thing. I thought I had it figured out. And then my mom was telling me about the Daniel series in 2011 that was going on. And I was sitting
Hold the microphone going, closer there, asking.
Sorry.
You got to learn how to handle a microphone when you're on the red carpet. Actually, anyway, technically, I'm supposed to hold it for you, but.
He's right. These lights are warm.
Go ahead.
Anyway, my mom told me to come, and I was sitting there going, you know what, I'm not too sure. But I came, and then I started seeing things that I had personally witnessed for real.
Who was telling you those things in the meeting?
Well, the Holy Spirit, obviously.
And who was the human instrument that he was using?
My mother, and this is why I'm here. Everybody that I see, practically. I don't know if I even say hi to anybody because there's a lot that I don't know, but I see you every week or sometimes out in town. And I'll tell you right now, I see everybody here, and this is why I'm here.
Praise
this
the
is
Lord.
My family. I have lost so much family that death has become a norm for me, to the point where I don't even really feel anymore. I don't even know how to have a relationship or anything, and that's where I sit here and go, Lord, how can I love you when I don't even know how to love myself? Not love myself, but love in general. And this is why every week I come here, I feel uncomfortable, yes, but I push myself because this is a new world for me. I mean, when I was in the service, it was all, you got to do things on your own. It's you.
Mm-hmm.
Professionalism, everything, which is good to a point. But, you know, there's a point when you need that touch.
Well, God has called us to be part of something that runs on love, and that's his family.
And that's why I'm here. I'm
Praise
learning.
The Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you. How about a couple more? Who brought you to Jesus?
Actually, my grandmother and my parents brought me into church. Because of them, I'm here. But I wanted to actually today, I wanted to represent Ryan. Ryan has brought 9 people to Jesus. He's taking
Praise
a short nap right now. But because of him, we have caregivers come into our home. And when they come, we do family worship. And they start participating in family worship. And we even took Mercedes to camp meeting. And at the end of camp, well, and of course, church. Well, she came to church with us for 7 years. And at camp meeting after 7 years, she said, I'm going to be baptized. Well, after she got baptized, her daughter got baptized. Her best friend got baptized. Her other daughter got baptized. Her new husband got baptized. And then her stepdaughter got baptized with 3 grandchildren. So, yes. So, Ryan is a star.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Well, I was Catholic, and I didn't believe I had to confess my sins to a priest. The Holy Spirit was just really moving on me.
And, hold it up higher there.
Oh, okay. And so, anyway, I prayed. I says, Lord, I believe we're living in the last days, and I believe you have a message. And I want you to show me the truth. And so my son was young at the time, and I had bought the Bible story books, and I bought absolutely everything that the Colporter had. I was so hungry spiritually and excited about the books. And so anyway, I called the pastor of this fundamentalist church that I was attending and told him about these books. And he says, oh, those are full of heresy, and those are put out by Adventists. Send them back. Don't keep the books. So anyway, I sent all the books back. I didn't keep them. And so I just says, Lord, I believe there's something. I believe you have a message. And I said, I'm not going to look at the people because I know we're all sinners, but I believe you have a message, and I want it. I want the truth. And Billy Graham, every time he had a crusade on, I was just glued to it. I was just so hungry. And so anyway, my neighbors were Seventh-day Adventist, and so I started asking them questions, and I got the right answers. And it was just so beautiful. I just love this message. I've been here in the church for nearly 40 years, and the longer that I'm in it, the more and more and more I know that this is God's remnant church.
So it was your neighbors?
My neighbors brought me. They moved before I got baptized.
Well, go ahead and say their names.
Laylee and Leon Spiva. I don't know if any of you remember them or not. But
well, they're stars.
They are stars. They brought me here.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. You starting to get the idea? Do you believe that you can be a star? One of those ones that shines like the stars forever and ever? I not only believe that, I know it. What does it take for you to be a star? It takes for you to let God in, give you a plan for each day that you live, and lead you, and empower you. He will guide you. He will open up opportunities for you, and he will be with you in those opportunities. As scary as they might be to you, he will be with you. He promised not to leave you nor forsake you. And whether it's through being a good neighbor, whether it's through anything that you can think of in showing his love, and ultimately in telling people who it is that you have met so that they can know him too, you will bring people to righteousness. You will bring people to know him. And I know, as he gets a hold of you and as he has a hold of you, that he doesn't call you and lead you to do it for glory. He doesn't call you and lead you to try and get attention on yourself, and you might even try and run from that attention when it comes to you. But in the eyes of your Father in heaven, you will shine like a star. In the eyes of everyone who's on the same agenda as our Father in heaven, which is to bring as many people into his family to experience love unsurpassed forever and ever, anyone who brings someone else into the family becomes a star immediately. Not because we want glory, not because we want to bring glory on other people, but because our hearts beat with the same pulse that the Father's heart beats with. The family cannot be enlarged enough. Every single person out there wandering, lost from the family, is precious and needs to be in the family. And every time someone does, what a rejoicing, what a party. A star is truly born. Are you willing to be part of that? Do you want to be part of that? I'm asking you to say, okay, I got a plan, Pastor. No, I'm asking you just to say, yes, Lord. On your terms, I want to be a star. Today, if you haven't known Jesus for yourself, of course, it's kind of hard to lead someone to him. You just can't share what you don't have. And so I want to give you the opportunity. If you don't know Jesus for yourself, if you don't know that that peace, that amazing assurance that everything that you've ever done wrong has been taken care of by Jesus, and that he has a home in heaven that he's preparing for you. And in the meantime, he has a plan for your life to carry you from here all the way to there, including a family to be with. I ask every Sabbath for a couple of the elders to be down front after the service. And after the service, I would invite you to make your way there. They will share with you from Scripture and pray with you so that you can be sure that you are accepted as his child and he has a place in heaven. Let's all together now bow our heads and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that in Jesus you have provided everything for us to be completely the way you want us to be in him, righteous. That you have made the way home for every last one of us. And Father, I pray especially right now for anyone who doesn't have that assurance, that confidence, that you have a place for them in your family. I pray that changes right now. Because Jesus came all the way from heaven. He humbled himself and became one of us. He took on himself all of the penalty of all the rebellion that we have ever done. And he has given us life. He's overcome the grave. He's overcome sin. He's overcome everything just to give it to us. So I pray, Father, that people can cross over from death to life here today. And Father, I pray for all of us, that of all the things that grab our attention, of all the things that grab our hearts and make us want to aspire and reach some kind of greatness or something, that knowing you and bringing people to know you will be the thing that truly grabs us and guides the rest of our lives. I ask these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.